You should pray all kinds of prayers. You should ask for everything. You know, you must be ready and you must never give up. And you must also pray for God's people. But I thought that, you know, it was important. Yes, we have that. And there's a scripture also that says pray without ceasing. You know, just pray all the time. And sometimes we think that is difficult. But I just remembered when I was preparing this, when my oldest daughter was 6 years old, she had a sleepover. And those girls chatted from when I picked them up from school. They chatted for, I think it was a 40-minute ride. They chatted. I went into the room at 12 midnight. They were chatting. I went at 1. They had fallen asleep. I went in there at 6 a.m. and they were chatting. So it is possible to actually chat, because praying without ceasing is really just chatting with God. And, you know, why should we even bother to chat with God? Because his word says that when we draw close to him, he draws even closer to us. His word tells us that when we abide in him, he will abide in us, and that we will bear much fruit, fruit that will abide. So it says that, how do you go about it? You keep a running conversation with God. And I've told you that that is possible. You know, any guy who sort of went out with any girl knew that they kept a running conversation. In those days when, you know, it was just, you know, the landline. But now, you know, they're texting, they're phoning, they're doing this. That's just it. So for the young people, you know, you're already clued in. Running conversation. Okay. Now, it says, pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. Never stop praying. Pray at all times. So we've talked about that, right? And we've said the reason why. So you must have a plan. So it says that you need to develop, right? You need to develop a system. You need to have a plan. Even God, when he was going to create the heaven and the earth, he said, you know, to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he says, let us make man in our own image. So that was a plan. Nothing just happens. I think we all know that. Anytime you feel anything is just going to happen, anything will happen, and it's usually not what you want. So if you know that, okay, it says that I've got to pray without ceasing. How do I do that without looking mad? Because, you know, you don't want to walk around and everybody thinking, what's going on with that person? Is she okay? You know, yesterday in Finchley, we counted like 4 or 5 people. We were not quite sure if they were okay. But they may have been just praying, but they just looked a little, you know, weird talking to themselves. You know, I don't know whether it says so here, but in many cultures, it says the first signs of craziness is just talking to yourself, you know. And because a lot of people can't see God, you know, when you're chatting, it seems like you're chatting to yourself, and it seems as if you're going a bit crazy. So, it says here, Psalm 119, that 7 times a day I praise you. There's so many different places in the Bible. It says, you know, that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. There's so many places in the Bible where it says, you know, pray 7 times a day, pray 8 times a day, pray 4 times a day. What we're trying to do is to pray throughout the day. And if we say that, we need to have a plan. And it's not just saying, we really need to have a plan. Rick Warren has put together a plan. And I must say, it's not the only plan, but it's a good plan, because it's modeled on the Lord's Prayer. And I think that's the first prayer everybody learns, you know, the Lord's Prayer. So it says, get up with gratitude. There's a scripture up there, but I like this scripture that's Psalm 100 that says, I enter into your gates with thanksgiving. And for me, it seemed like that was like the password, you know, thanksgiving. I can't imagine, you know, you're trying to go to God's house and you're screaming from outside because you don't have the password to even enter in through his gates. It says that thanksgiving. You know, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So then, this is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. And the reason we're praying that way is because we are so grateful, because he is our Father. And the reason he doesn't say our ruler who is in heaven, our maker who is in heaven, is because of the relationship. Now it says we should start with gratitude. Why should we start with gratitude? Besides the fact that the Bible actually says I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving. But starting with gratitude, oh my goodness, there's so much going on in the world. I don't know if there are any doctors here. How do we wake up? Nobody really knows. We just fall asleep. Some people fall asleep and never wake up. So when you wake up, oh, thank God I woke up. So, you know, that should even just be what escapes. Oh, thank God I woke up, you know. And then there's so many other things, you know. A lot of us swing out of bed, you know. I go to this home once a week. And there was a lady there, she doesn't have legs, she's drooling all the time, and she's on some kind of contraption, you know. And she said to me one day, she was feeling unwell. She says, age is not kind to me. So I said, well, how old are you? She says, she's 83 years. She wasn't born like that, you know. When I go to that home every Friday, when I leave the place, I almost want to kneel down in front and say, thank God, you know. A lot of us think we're going through things, but trust me, you're not going through very much, you know. And again, another thing, okay, I don't know what the next slide says. Okay, just read the scriptures, right? Because I'm trying to beat the time. You know, another thing is that the Bible tells us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Yeah.
So when you wake up in the morning and you say good morning, it means joy has come. It means it is another day to do the amazing. It's another day to do the impossible, right? So enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get the password to even just enter, because you don't want to be screaming on the road, hey God, you know, do this or do that, right? And I mean, it says here we're to thank God because there's really nothing we did for ourselves. You know, I'm beautiful, I know, but it was nothing I did. I was just born like this, okay? But that is actually the truth. He says that we're wonderfully and fearfully made. So there's nothing, you know, you go to school, you're smart. You can't even boast about that, because there are ways that get you smart these days, even if you're not so smart. So it's really, you know, it's just everything that we have comes from God. So it just makes, you know, sense. Then it says that, you know, at breakfast, if you eat breakfast, I'm a health coach, so you don't have to eat breakfast, but don't tell anybody. That's not what we're talking about now. But around that time, breakfast time, yeah, because you've swung out of bed and you've given thanks. So the next thing to do is to hallow the name of God. And it's because names are so important. I come from a culture where a name means a lot. You know, my name is Olamide. It means my wealth has come. You know, when I tell people what it means, they go, you know, some people are sitting in front and they say, Ola, Olamide, meaning that, you know, my wealth has come. Okay? And, you know, God's name, sometimes it does my head in when I think about God's names. It gets me excited. It says he's Jehovah El Shaddai, the God that is all sufficient. There's nothing I want, there's nothing I need that he cannot give me. And the funny thing is that he wants to give it to me. You know how you have some stuff sometimes and somebody says, can I have something? You're thinking, oh, please, can't I just have this by myself? But God actually wants to give it away. You know, he says he's our Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. So if you're going through anything this morning, all you need to do is to hallow his name. And what does it mean to hallow? You know, it's just to bless it, to reverence it, to just be awed by the fact that your healing is a shout away.
Amen.
He says that he's Jehovah Jireh, our provider, you know. And the funny thing is that people say, oh, God provides only your needs. I don't see that in the Bible. He says I should ask for anything. So, you know, I have my eye. Okay, I won't tell you what I have my eyes on, you know, because this is being recorded. But, you know, I have my eye on some things that you may not think are important. But the truth is that you are not my father, thank God. You know, he doesn't care what I want. He doesn't, of course, if I'm stealing, he doesn't want that. If I want to murder somebody, he may understand, but he won't want me to murder the person, right? Okay, so he says, so you hallow his name. And, you know, we all, okay, where am I pointing? We all have the names of God that, you know, mean so much to us. They're different names of God. There's so many different names, you know? And it just says to reverence his name. Okay? He says that, you know, I thank my Father in heaven. Okay, I don't know why this is here, but I guess it's still part of praise, you know? And I was just thinking, what's a good example of praise? And I just thought, okay, Anuja isn't here, so I'm going to use her as an example. You know, if you see Anuja, you say, oh my goodness, your hair. Oh, wow, Anuja, you're so nice. You're always saying nice things. You're always doing this, you're always doing this. First of all, she floats away home on a cloud. And then next Sunday, she rushes back to see, is she here, that lady? And then if I do that after a little while, and I say, can I have your right hand? She'll probably say, go on, take it. Okay? And that's what praise does. You know, when you praise God, you exalt his name, you worship his, you know, you're just in awe of what it is his name says he can do. Because, you know, we don't know the full extent of what God can do, but his name tells us. Okay? Then mid-morning, it says here that you remember what matters most. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come excites me no end. Because in the kingdom of God, oh my goodness, in the kingdom of God, there is so much.
Yeah.
In the kingdom of God, there is absolutely everything that I want and I need. Yeah. And all I have to do is to say, your kingdom be superimposed over my life.
Yeah.
And in the kingdom of God, the things that I don't want are not there. The things that are not good for me are not there. So it says mid-morning, remember you've thanked God, you've praised him, and then you say, your kingdom come. Because again, you know, that Psalm 100, it says, I enter through the gates with thanksgiving. I enter into your courts with praise. Okay? And so by the time where the next thing is to enter into his kingdom, you know? And it says here that your kingdom come. And your will be done. We're so, you know, when we do this every day, we're saying to God, you know, I care what you want for me. What you want for me is what I want for myself. Because I know what I, you know, because I know that some of the things that I may want for myself may rot my teeth. Okay? But I want what God wants for me. Because he can see the end. One of his names is that he can see the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. You know? I mean, I know a lot of people here have things in the past you've prayed for, and you're so grateful now that that never came through. Because God knows the end from the beginning. So, your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life. I don't want any kind of crazy thing. I just want your will, your will, your will, and your will alone. In our small group, you know, one of the people in the group, when he said, what are your prayers? She started to cry because she says, I'm so desperate for his will to be done in my life. And you know, that's all God wants. He just wants us to desire these things. He is the one who puts the desires in our hearts, and he just wants the desires. I'm actually not saying anything I had prepared, so I hope this is making sense. Right?
Good stuff.
Align myself with God's purposes and plans for my life. You know, he has purposes and plans for each of our lives. He says his thoughts towards us are of good and not of evil, to bring us to an expected end. So there's no need, it's just such an interesting thing. There's no need to give yourself a headache. There's no need to worry, what am I going to do? Just pray these prayers. And you know, we need to believe the word of God. Because he says when you pray like this, he answers us. You know, what I like to call the phone number of God, Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. It says here that if you seek God's kingdom, all other things will be added. And what's God's kingdom? You are wanting his kingdom to come in your life. If you are wanting his kingdom to come in your life, right? He says all those other things will be added on. And the funny thing is that when you want God's kingdom in your life, you're not even interested in a lot of those other things that people think are important. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. Now, after that, if you eat lunch or around lunchtime, okay, it's time to actually say what you want. You know, a lot of times, some people are weird, you know, they never say to you what they want. they say this, they say that, and you're in your head. I don't know if it happens to other people, but I'm sure it does. You're in your head, you're running around. You know those cartoons where you can see what's going on in, you know, you're running around thinking, what does she want? What's she saying? And you're there intently thinking, what does she want? It says here that we should just go to God and say, give us our daily bread. And of course, we know this isn't only the bread that we eat, right? This is everything that we want. And he says, just ask daily. You know, when they were in the wilderness, they used to get manna. And they said, don't take manna for tomorrow because it'll rot. All you need to do is ask for today. Tomorrow, right, joy comes again in the morning. Mm. So you don't need to worry about tomorrow. There's a scripture, I'm not quite sure what it says, something about sufficient is the day or something. Sufficient is the trouble. Basically, what it means is that there are enough troubles today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Okay? Right? So give us our daily bread. And he says, you know, when we ask, he will give. A lot of the times we don't believe, we don't seem to believe that. These days, a lot of people think that the Bible is obsolete. But what he says in the Bible is actually what he means. Okay? He says that, you know, ask anything. Anything in my name. You can't have my shoes. Thank you very much. But you know, anything. And it means anything. It doesn't mean some things. It doesn't mean a few things. It means anything. Right? And then remember, it says, give us. It says, give us. So it's not just, you know, we don't use the royal we. At least most of us don't use the royal we when we pray. So give us there means that it's not just you. You need to intercede for other people. There's some things and some people who will not get out. You know, I was listening to a message that says that when Lazarus came forth, all Jesus said was, Lazarus, come forth. But it was not Jesus who went and removed the grave clothes. Other people had to help Lazarus out of those grave clothes. So sometimes we need to, you know, pray for other people. You know, some people try to feel really fancy. Oh, I'm an intercessor. We all are intercessors. So the intercessors should get off their high horse, yeah? We all have a responsibility to pray. And the truth about it is that the more you pray for other people, the more God will show you people to pray for. You know, a lot of the times we're thinking, oh, but I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody who has a problem. You'll be surprised that he will show you somebody. You may not know what they're going through, but, you know, you'll be able to pray for them. I remember some, I think it was last year or so, you know, some lady's name who was my senior in school popped into my mind. I don't even know, I had no idea anything about her. And I thought, okay, that means I need to pray. And I prayed. And then I went on LinkedIn once and I found her on LinkedIn. I thought, oh, how are you doing? And her response was, well, considering everything, I'm fine. So I thought, oh, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And, you know, she didn't respond. So I said, well, God said I should pray for you. And she came back and said, oh, she'd been ill. She'd been, you know, had an operation. You know, what I'm just saying is that I had no idea. I just knew that I had known her briefly a few years ago. I was going to tell you how many years, but that would date me. Okay. So give us our daily bread. It's not just us. It's us and all the people around us, or even people who are far away, you know. But I believe that when you start to, you know, intercede, you would get... Okay, it says here... Okay, sorry. When you start to intercede, you will get information about who you should... who you should intercede for. Okay. It says here that don't be anxious for anything. Again, trust me. Trust God. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for anything. You know? But you know, that's why we read the Bible, so that we can be reminded all the time. You know, I have 5 children, and when the first one, you know, was born and started school, I thought, oh, will he ever be able to read? The second one, oh, third one, oh, fourth one, oh, believe it or not, fifth one, oh, she's going to be able to read. So you need to, you know, read the Word of God all the time so that you are reminded of it, that be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. It's a waste of time. I mean, you can do it, but it's a waste of time. Sorry, I was going to say something about intercession. You know, God says that there's some things you shouldn't bother to pray about. It's a waste of your time to pray about, you know, where you're going to live, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Don't bother. It's a waste of time. But, you know, he doesn't say other people can't pray for you. I was just using that as an example, you know. Other people can pray for you concerning that house or what you're wearing or what you're eating. Okay? I just thought I remember that I wanted to say that. But please, be anxious for nothing. There's no point in being anxious for anything. Yeah? So it says here, ask for forgiveness in the afternoon. Okay? The emphasis here seems to be ask for forgiveness. But I think the emphasis for me is forgive us our sins as we forgive, you know, those who have sinned against us. You know, I'm a sozo first chair, and what we always get is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness stops us from moving on. Unforgiveness stops us from receiving. So yes, it's good to say forgive me, but you know what? It's more important to forgive other people. It's the condition precedent to you being forgiven. You must forgive other people. And that's really key. There's almost no point in saying all these prayers if you're not going to forgive. Because, you know, it's you know what they say? It's like drinking poison and expecting that the other person is going to drop dead. So it says here at this point. Now, what I also feel is that the more you do this, you're going to get to a point where you don't really have much to confess. Because, you know, it doesn't make sense to every day have the same thing you are confessing. You know, the Bible says, shall we continue in sin and expect grace to abound? And he says, God forbid, right? Let every man know that whatsoever you sow, you will reap. I don't know, that doesn't sound so nice, but it's the truth. It's also in the Bible. So you can't come every day and say, oh, I'm so sorry I slapped Pete. Oh, I'm so sorry I slapped, you know? Can you just, you know, can you just do a roundabout and, you know, maybe slap somebody else for a change? But basically saying that you can't continue to come every day to ask for forgiveness for the same thing. You keep doing it, you know. You keep doing the same thing. And, and we're also hoping that the more you do this, you don't have to wait until the afternoon. You know, sometimes, a lot of times, you get to a certain level that when you do what you shouldn't have done, you know immediately. You know, and so don't put it in a bag and wait until the afternoon. But, you know, if you have to, you know, it's a good time to do it. Okay. It says here, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So it says, ask for help in making decisions. You know, some of us are pretty smart, you know, did well in school, you know, got great grades. And so on. And so there's so many things that, I mean, it looks clear. It looks obvious. This is the way I should go. I mean, it's clear if you have two eyes. But the truth about it is that, you know, there's a Yoruba name for God, that he's the one who has eyes like a sieve. Okay? So he has loads of eyes. So you may have two eyes and you may think it's so clear to anybody with two eyes. But the truth about it is that God can see behind your head and you can't. God can see behind that wall, and you don't know what is behind that wall. So I think it makes sense to just ask somebody who can see further than you to say, what's along the way? What should I be doing? You know? And he says that, lead us not into temptation. Okay? There's this scripture that says, God does not tempt you with more than what you can bear. Even though sometimes you're thinking, oh, can I bear this? I'm not sure. You know, but I know that it's obvious because I listened to a Joyce Meyer, and I think with all the abuse that she went through, I would be in prison because I would have killed the person. You know, that's why he didn't give me that challenge. Yeah, am I making sense? Yeah. So, you know, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, because we don't want to, you know, do those things that we're going to need to be confessing the next day. Mm. Because there's some things that if you do them, you know, you may not even make it to the next day to confess it. Okay? So it's really important. Now, where are we? So this is in the afternoon. So lead us not into temptation, right, is early evening. And I was reading, Rick Warren was saying how, you know, apparently a lot of fights and so on happen just before dinner after work. I was going to Google that to find out if it was true, but I didn't have the time to. But, you know, and that's why you need to sort of ask that, you know, you be delivered from evil before you actually kill somebody. Okay. So, end my day with an encouraging truth. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We've read the end of the book. We win. We win. We win. Exciting. We win. I don't know how excited, you know? So whatever is going on, you've actually won, right? And so you are again back to worship. We started off with gratitude. We started off with, you know, we started off with thanksgiving, gratitude. We went to praise. We asked for all the things that we needed. We are back to worship. Because one, we know that he's done all those things we've asked. Right? He says that all power. You know, there's a church I once heard, and they had this thing saying power must change hands. You know? And I thought, what do you mean must change hands? The Bible says, once have you said it, twice have I heard it. All power belongs unto God. So we're praying to a God who has all the power that we need. We don't need anything else. He says that all the glory, not today. You know how there's the World Cup on now? I just some people, yes. Okay? And whoever wins is going to take the glory for, I don't know how long. How often is this? Is it 4 years? Okay. Yeah. And that's nothing in the grand scheme of things. He says that God has the glory forever. It's just, for me, it's so comforting.
Yeah.
To know that I am, it's not an exercise in futility. You know, to know that I am praying to a God who has all the power, not some power, not half the, all the power. I don't care who is flexing. You know what it is to flex? Some of us know. I don't care who's flexing their muscles. God has all the power.
Amen.
All the glory. And then the most important thing is that I call him Father. I don't call him Master. I don't call him ruler. I call him Father. I have a personal relationship.
Amen.
Which is why this is important, praying through your day, praying without ceasing, so that you can have that personal relationship. Mm. Because if you don't have that personal relationship, he wants you, but you're going to be a bit embarrassed. You know how, you know, I say to my children, you know, you better phone me all the time. Because if you don't phone me, when you need me, I may not pick up your call. Thank God I'm not God. But the truth about it is that God is not like that, but you feel bad. Oh, well, not everybody. Some people are not embarrassed. But, you know, I needed to speak to Jill. I should have just said hello last week and hello 2 weeks ago. Now I need to ask her for something. It's going to be difficult. So it's important to develop that relationship. I have a little thing here because I know that everybody here looks like they have this relationship with God. So maybe this is for whoever's going to listen to the recording. If it's been recorded. If for any reason you don't have a personal relationship with God, I just want to say a prayer. And if you just repeat it after me, it doesn't have to be loud. Would like to meet you afterwards if you said the prayer. But if for now you don't even want to meet anybody, it's really not between you and us. It's between you and God. So I'm just going to say this prayer. And so please say it after me. Maybe we should all say it just to encourage each other.
Dear Lord Jesus,
come into my heart.
Forgive me of my sin.
Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. I believe that you are risen from the dead and that you are coming back again for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost. A hunger for the things of God. And a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am saved. I am born again. I'm forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven. Because I have Jesus in my heart. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I think that comes to the, that brings us to the end. But before we, you know, if the band can come back. I don't know, was that 10 minutes, 5 minutes? It was supposed to be 30, but it's okay. We're doing this 40 days of prayer. And we're learning a lot about it. But if we don't actually pray, it's going to be a waste of your time and everybody's time. It's not enough to hear all these things, you know, you've laughed a bit, heard one or two truths. By the way, when you hear a message, you don't need to hear the whole thing. You just need a word. And that can transform your life. As Manuela comes back with the awesome worship team. Can we just all rise so that we can pray this? Let us just start with gratitude. Let's just thank God that when I said all rise, we could all rise. You've been listening to me, so it means you could hear me. You've been looking at me, it means you could see me. Let's just thank God because he's good, because he's kind. Because his mercy is until forever. As we thank him, let's just begin to praise him. The name that means the most to you, his name that means the most to you, just repeat it to him and tell him that you trust him. Tell him that you reverence that name. I reverence you, Jehovah El Shaddai. You are the God that is all sufficient. I cannot add to you. I cannot subtract from you. You do exceeding abundantly more than we can imagine or we can think. Let's just begin to ask that his kingdom come in our lives. Let's ask that he superimposes his kingdom upon what's going on in our lives. Let's tell him that his will is what we want. We don't want our own will. We want his perfect will. Father, we want your perfect will, not even your permissive will. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom where there is peace, yes. Where there is joy,
yes.
Where there is abundance,
yes.
Where there is divine health.
Yes.
Let your kingdom be superimposed.
Yes.
Let your will alone yes. be done. Not our will. This is the time to ask him for what you want. What is that thing that seems like it defies prayer? Ask it now. He says, ask in my name and you will receive. That thing that you don't even bother to pray about anymore because, you know, it's been there for so long. The heavens are open. Pray for your friends, pray for your neighbors. Let us begin to ask for forgiveness. more especially, let us ask for forgiveness for unforgiveness. And let's ask him to bring to our remembrance the people we need to forgive, and let us forgive them. Not because they deserve it, but because we just want to be in right standing with God. Ask him to help us to make those decisions and keep us from evil. Finally, let's just worship him because he's a good God. Because he means what he says, and he says what he means. Because he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, he's the same forevermore. He's unchangeable even though he's dynamic. When he says it, he brings it to pass. He's the only one who has the key of David. When he opens a door, nobody can shut it. When he shuts a door, nobody can open it. Once has he said it, twice have we heard it, all power belongs to him.
Amen.
If you said the prayer or you need prayer for anything, the prayer team is here waiting to pray with you.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center.